centered and want everything for yourself, all your toys, all your money and time. You want it all for yourself and maybe even some of other people's stuff. So today we're going to be talking about giving and giving up what we want for what others want. And so I'm going to start by reading a story here, and then we're going to talk about it some. So this story is called What's a Fish Between Friends. The sun's first rays glistened on the top of a giant sycamore when Rick stopped at the small cottage where his best friend lived. Rick carried a tin bucket of lunch filled with plenty of goodies for both boys. Rick's mom always packed enough for Jess when the boys went on an excursion together. "It's just as easy to plan enough for two as for one while I'm at it," she had once said. Rick had never thought about why she did it. He put his fingers to his mouth and gave his usual shrill whistle for his friend. Jess appeared immediately, pausing only to pick up his fishing pole leaning against the house. Then the door opened again and Jess's little sister ran out. "Here, Jess, you forgot your breakfast. Mother said you shouldn't go without breakfast," she said, handing the boy a biscuit. "Thanks, Betsy," said Jess. He took the biscuit and devoured it in three quick bites as they walked along. "Breakfast? One biscuit?" thought Rick. "That's no breakfast. Is that all they had?" Maybe that's why Mother packs lunch for Jess, too. But then Rick's mind went back to fishing. It was one of those perfect mornings for an excursion. Dew glistened from every glass blade under their eager feet. Two bobwhites whistled to each other across the hayfield. Leaves quivered in a teasing little breeze that bore the sweet June fragrance of locust blossoms. At the old covered bridge, conversation ceased. Sliding down the bank, they crept beneath the damp timbers and pushed on through the bushes bordering the creek. At last they reached the dead sycamore that had fallen across the dark waters of their favorite fishing hole. A lizard lay there blinking his yellow eyes at them, then scuttled to the underside of a log. A huge bullfrog leaped off a rock at their feet and splashed headfirst into the water. Easing out onto the center of the log, the boys opened the can of worms and baited their hooks just so. Then they cast their lines in with the greatest care and settled down without a word to wait for a bite. It may have been half an hour before Rick's line quivered and a circle of ripples spread out around it. Rick waited, he did not even breathe. Then with a strong tug, the cork bobbed under. "Jerk him out, Rick, jerk him out," shouted Jess. Rick jerked hard, the pole bent in a thrilling way. Rick stood up and lifted, the line cleared the water, and a beautiful speckled trout glistened in the sunlight. Together, the boys got the fish to the bank. "Rick, isn't he a wonder?" cried Jess. "Isn't he?" shouted Rick. "Now isn't he? My family always laughs when I go fishing because I never catch anything. They'll stop their laughing when they see this fellow." The boys strung the trout and tied one end of the cord to a root of the old sycamore. The fish swam back and forth in the clear water while the delighted boys watched it, and then Rick baited his hook again. "I hope you get one next time, Jess," said Rick as they settled on the log again. But Jess caught no fish. Once or twice his line quivered, but it was only a minnow stealing the bait. The boys waited, whispering quietly, until the sun stood exactly overhead. Then they ate their lunch. Rick noticed for the first time how quickly Jess devoured his share of what Mother had sent. After putting fresh bait on their lines, they dropped them in and waited some more, but in vain. No more bites, not even a nibble. The shadows grew long and the boys knew they had to give up. "Well, we should go, I suppose," said Rick. "Yes," agreed Jess, not much hope of catching anything anymore. They wound their lines and pulled up the trout. Shouldering their poles, they retraced the steps through the bushes, under the bridge, and up the bank. Rick's heart felt lighter than a balloon. How he would surprise the family when he came home with his fish. They would never dare make fun of his fishing trips again. He would show them a fish that was a fish. The boys saw Betsy swinging on the gate when they neared the little cottage. "Jess, did you get any fish?" she called out. "Not today," replied Jess, "but Rick got one, and it's a beauty. Show it to her, Rick." As they came closer, Rick held up the trout. Betsy devoured it with her eyes. Suddenly, Rick realized that the little girl wanted that fish, really wanted it. But she only called gaily, "Rick, you are a sure enough fisherman now." "Yes, and I know who I'm going to give my fish to," said Rick, and he handed the stringer to Betsy. "No," cried the astonished child, "I can't take it, you caught it." But her voice quivered with eagerness. Rick only laughed and left the fish in her hands. "See you, Jess," he said, and started up the hill towards home. Supper would be waiting on the back porch. There would be chicken and green peas and asparagus, he knew, and likely as not cherry tarts. He had helped pick the cherries the day before. At his home, they didn't need fish for food, but down at a tiny house where Jess and Betsy and their mother lived, that fish might be about all they had to eat that evening. Perhaps there would not be very much of a supper without it, and if his family did not believe him when he told them what a big fish he had caught, well, that didn't matter so much anyways. So who was the boy that had plenty in this story? What was his name?
Rick.
Yep, Rick was the one who had plenty of food. Who was the boy who was poor in the story?
Jess.
What was his name? Jess, yep. And what do you think would have happened if Rick hadn't given that fish to Jess? You think he would have had food that night?
He wouldn't have had supper.
Probably not. He didn't have very much. You think Rick was sad that he didn't have a fish to show his family? Or do you think he was more happy that Jess actually had something to eat that night? That's my guess. He gave up his prize fish for Jess because he knew that if he didn't, Jess would probably not have anything to eat. And I think he was happier that he did it than if he would have kept it to show his family. And that's the great thing about giving to other people, is that it benefits you as well as the person you're giving to. Giving up what we want can make us friends with people that were once our enemies. And the Bible has a lot to say about giving to the poor also. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, when you have pity on the poor, you lend to the Lord, and the Lord will reward you for what you have done. And so God has promised a reward to those that have pity on the poor and actually help the poor. And do any of you guys know who Winston Churchill was? He was a prime minister of the UK during World War II. And he had something to say about giving. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And so let's try to be less greedy and selfish and just try to be more thoughtful givers. Okay, that's all I had. So you guys can go back to your seats.